Welcome to Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingola Consulting in collaboration with Stericycle Communication Solutions. Cingola Consulting was founded on the basic principle that the patient should be at the center of every decision made by a healthcare organization. Our mission is to help organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. Stericycle Communication Solutions is a service of Stericycle Incorporated and is the industry-leading communication solution provider for inbound, outbound, and automated call center communications. Today, we bring together industry leaders on air to engage in conversations about their patient experience with a focus on the developments, integration, and optimizations in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm AJ Malaragno, president of Cingola Consulting and today's host of Experience Health Radio. We're excited to share with our audience our experiences as well as the experiences of our guests every week on demand through our website and downloaded through iTunes. This week, we're going to talk about mobile health and specifically mobile health care, making it safer and easier for both organizations as well as safer for patients. Mobile health is exploding, as many of you know. Both Apple and Google now include health apps on their smartphones, and wearables like Fitbit continue to increase their customer base. Patients can use apps for medication reminders, diet, and nutrition tracking, and keep tabs on their own medical record. Healthcare providers can use apps to easily or to more easily access EMRs, get help with diagnosis, and communicate with patients and colleagues. Some estimates place the number of provider-facing apps at 95,000, an astonishing number that shows the sheer number of possibilities and what mobile health can do. To talk a little bit about these possibilities today, we're happy to have the CEO and co-founder of SwipeSense, Mert Izeri, joining us. Mert originally hails from Istanbul, Turkey, and attended Northwestern University. There, he co-founded Design for America, a national initiative amongst college students to use design thinking for social impact in their communities. It now has thousands of members across 21 campuses, and Mert still serves to this day on the advisory board for the organization. After college, he co-founded and is currently the CEO of SwipeSense, a medical device startup aiming to eliminate hospital-acquired infections from hospitals. Mert was recognized most recently in Forbes magazine as prestigious 30 under 30 list, which we're going to ask him about, for 2015. So with that, welcome, Mert. It's a great honor to have you part of the show today.
It's a pleasure to be here, AJ. Happy to be part of the conversation.
So what was it like when you first found out that you were recognized as Forbes magazine's prestigious 30 under 30?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I think both my co-founder and I, we blushed a little bit because it almost made it seem like the success that SwipeSense has been able to enjoy was because of us, and it really isn't the case. We're a much bigger company now than we were 3 years ago when it really was just the two of us getting things up and running. But we felt a little embarrassed because it made it seem like it was just the two of us, but now obviously it's the rest of the team at SwipeSense that really make everything happen. And the second thing I thought of was, well, yeah, my mom's probably going to be very happy to see this. So she was pretty excited, so to speak. Those are the two things that I thought of when we found out.
Would you rather have this or the People magazine's top 50 most beautiful people? Be honest now.
This I would say is much powerful to me than to be beautiful. Being beautiful is great, but I like this more.
Very good. Mert, talk to us a little bit about SwipeSense. I didn't really give it justice on the overview. Let's first talk about what it is, and then we're going to go really into why you created it and what those steps were as a startup.
You know, at the first heartbeat, what we basically do is we visualize a previously hidden statistic in hospitals. So right now, hospitals measure their hand hygiene compliance using pen and paper. Most hospitals do this. It's called the secret shopper method, where you physically get a nurse out of patient care, and they sit in the corner of a hallway, and they check boxes to see if their peers actually wash their hands. This is an archaic method, and obviously it doesn't work in hospitals. What SwipeSense does is we basically take this data, we kit out the hospital with our sensors, and we basically can get hand hygiene data in real time and ultimately use this as a platform for infection control professionals to increase hand hygiene across the board. Obviously, as we all know, as hand hygiene rates go up, hospital-acquired infections go down in hospitals. And that really has been the mission of our company from day one, and that's what we do.
So, Mark, are you telling me that there's individuals in a hospital caring for patients that do not have good hand hygiene and are not washing their hands on a regular basis?
Unfortunately, that is the case. The average hand hygiene compliance in the U.S. reported by the CDC and also corroborated by the World Health Organization is approximately 40%. It's a pretty scary number, and there's a number of reasons why this is the case, but unfortunately, hospitals are notoriously not the best places for hand hygiene when it comes to taking care of people.
Wow. And I know that I've been in many hospitals, and I've seen the devices on the walls and sometimes the product itself either on the floor or dripping down the wall. Your device is wearable, right? It's not something that they have to go up to or have to be displayed on a wall somewhere.
Correct. Well, part of our system is our wearable dispensers. So the idea was similar to what happened to the phones. You know, your phone used to be mounted on a wall at some point, and you know, whenever you got a call, you had to go all the way to the wall to pick up the phone. You know, there was a different time, but now you have a cell phone, and your phone is always there with you. So part of our system is to have a wearable sanitizer that actually people can carry around, and they can squeeze the device, get hand sanitizer on their hands. But ultimately, it's part of our larger data platform where we know who in the hospital actually uses the hand sanitizer, how often they go in and out of the rooms, and ultimately use that as a metric that hospitals can use to improve upon. We believe that there are two things broken in hand hygiene in the hospitals. One of them is an access problem where it's difficult to get to when you're right by the patient's bedside and you're doing a procedure and you need hand hygiene. You're expected to stop what you're doing, go all the way to the wall and come back. I don't think that's very convenient, and to be honestly, people just don't do this. They don't stop delivering care to go and get hand hygiene. But the larger problem that we've observed is this pen and paper problem. Right now, hospitals really don't have an effective method to measure hand hygiene so they can improve it afterwards. When you measure this with pen and paper, you get lots of biases thrown in there. People change their behavior when they know they're being watched by one of their peers. All sorts of different things come into play, which effectively makes this not really an accurate mode of measuring a system that's all fundamentally broken.
So when you're in college and you're part of that association, Design for America, is this where you came up with the concept of SwipeSense, or did you have some kind of occurrence walking through a hospital and said, boy, this is the problem and I need to solve it?
It's actually a funny story how SwipeSense came about. You know, the original problem was hand hygiene. You know, we worked with a hospital near our campus, and they came to us saying we need to do better hand hygiene. And we spent 6 weeks at the hospital in their ICU with my co-founder, Yuri Molina, and, you know, we tried everything. We tried changing the screensavers. We tried putting up reminders on the walls. We tried this whole reward scheme where we would give people bonuses if they performed hand hygiene and talk to their patient about it. We tried everything, and nothing seemed to work. And one night, it was a Saturday night, and Yuri and I were in this deep valley of, well, we really don't know what we're doing now, are we, kind of moment, where in every innovative pursuit, you have that moment of despair where you really don't have anything. And we were in a beach at Northwestern University up in Evanston, and I was building a sandcastle. This is, again, 2 in the morning, so and on a Saturday night, and we weren't feeling that great. And I got up, I had sand on my hands, and just like any 5-year-old, I wiped my hands on my pants. And I could see in the horizon this angel of hand hygiene rise up and say, you just wiped your hands on your pants. That's what everybody wants to do. Everybody wants to have hand hygiene right on them. So we immediately ran back to the studio. We cut off the top of a deodorant roller, duct tape a bag of hand sanitizer in the back, and Velcro that on a pair of scrubs. We ran to the hospital. We found the first nurse that we could see in the ICU with this jankety prototype in our hands, and she had a cup of water. She put down the cup of ice water, she wiped her hands on her pants, and then reached to grab the prototype. And that moment we knew that we had something special with the wearable dispenser. Obviously, once we graduated and started to commercialize the company, we found out that data and monitoring is actually the other half of this big problem. But that's how the idea came about, and that's how things got started. So we did have somewhat of a generic, I suppose, an aha moment. But obviously, it's an aha moment that lasted a little over 3 years now, and we're still continuing to innovate in the same path.
That's a wonderful story. I knew a portion, or I've heard a portion of that story. I didn't hear the you were building a sandcastle at 2 a.m, which is a whole nother story. So, for our audience, before I started Cingola Consulting, I was an advisor to a few different startups through the incubator HealthBox here in Chicago. And that's how I met Mert, and they did all their presentations, and there were several presentations that day. And not only did the solution that you or the product that you were, well, I'm going to say solution, I think it is a solution, that you presented, I thought was ingenious. I also thought your personality and your passion, both from you as well as your co-founder, Yuri, was tremendous. And I think you have to be able to understand what it's like to have nothing in order to really take what you have now and create a business around it. So I commend you guys. I sat with you in many meetings talking about how, you know, you were just designing the product itself and going back and forth to the drawing board. What's going to work? What are physicians and nurses going to get used to? Tell me a little bit about your experience with HealthBox and how that helped you become the business you are today.
Well, HealthBox really turned our business on, and I would say that it did really three things for us. First and foremost, thank you so much for your kind words. The respect obviously goes right back to you, and I would say that one of the things that really impacted us as a company, but more importantly as entrepreneurs today, is HealthBox connected us with mentors like yourself. And that's really, really powerful when you're young and when SwipeSense is really your first real job out of college. It's a scary place to be, and knowing people like you, whom we're still in touch to this day, was a tremendous benefit to us. And it's not just to get ideas and get help on, but also the second part to us, which was very, very important that we got out of HealthBox, it made the whole thing a lot more real. You know, before that, you're very excited, you're very passionate, there's no room for failure, you're going to keep going forward, but there's this terrible, terrible demon called doubt that every once in a while will creep in your mind, and it will hurt at confidence, which is really all you have at that stage. So I felt personally very empowered by meeting people like you, but also my peers who were also part of the program, seeing other entrepreneurs go through similar struggles. It was almost like this Alcoholics Anonymous for entrepreneurs. We could talk about our struggles and the things that we were challenged with. And HealthBox was a great place for that in terms of creating that platform. And then finally, it was our first investment. They invested $50,000 into the business. And at the time, that was more money than I could ever imagine. And we thought, oh, my goodness, this is $50,000. Think of all the amazing things we can do with this money. And now, obviously $50,000 in the grand scheme of things is not that much money when you're trying to commercialize a full-blown startup. But those were the three things that we got out of HealthBox, and I would credit them with one of the biggest reasons why we're here today, because of them.
Right. So it's a $50,000 sandcastle that you were building. So congratulations.
Yeah, I guess you could call it that.
So, all right, so now you're up and running. You're in some hospital systems. To us and tell our audience a little bit about some of the challenges that you've had along the way. And I'm sure there's different levels of them, you know, ramping up and making sure that you have the customers on board. And now, you know, how do you keep innovating? How do you keep making it new and fresh and gaining adoption? So I know it's a lot of questions, but walk us through some of the challenges that you've had.
Well, first of all, I think as a startup, one of your biggest competitive advantages is your ability to service your customers personally. So let's take a company that's much, much, much bigger than SwipeSense. Let's take GE, for instance. It's a huge company, well-respected company. One of the things that GE cannot do is to give the kind of attention that we give to our customers. So if there's anything wrong, if there's anything that's challenging, if there's anything that's going out of the ordinary, we will make it right because it is our survival to make you happy as an initial customer. So that's one of our advantages, and ultimately that is also a huge challenge in and of itself because the risk that these hospitals are taking by working with a startup like you is they're giving you the platform. They're saying, look, I understand that you're not in a ton of hospitals right now, but we believe in you, we believe in the technology, and quite frankly, no one else has this. Let's make this happen. So that's an enormous amount of responsibility, and obviously it's something that's difficult to handle because everything has to go perfect. So there's not a lot of room, there's not a lot of wiggle room in terms of the errors that you can make. And if anything goes wrong, well, you have to make it right no matter what the cost is. And I'll give you a concrete example of what this meant to us. We received our first batch was, our big installation was taking place in May of 2014 last year. We got the hospital up and running. It was very exciting. But the first batch we received from our manufacturing plant, we had some errors in it. So we had to overnight everything back to the facility, get it fixed, and then come back. It was close to like a $15,000 expense for us. And at the time, you don't have that much money, so $15,000 is a big amount. But you have to do it. You don't have a choice not to do it. And that's obviously fantastic service for any customer, and they're very happy because you're providing these kinds of things. But it's the challenge that is you have limited resources, and you can only do that so many times. So I think that's a good microcosm of the advantage and the disadvantage of going in as a new technology to a hospital is inevitably you're going to run into issues and they're going to be very, very expensive to fix. But the fact that you are fixing them and you are the person who's involved is one of the biggest advantages that you have as a startup because that kind of service is not something that a lot of medical device companies can provide to customers.
Right, because you have to go through the whole change control, chain of command as well. And as a startup, you're very flexible. You're obviously
exactly.
Vulnerable, but at the same time, if as I started the conversation off, if you have half the passion in your customer service you do in building your product, you're going to be outstanding. So,
thank you.
Let's shift gears a little bit. So. The month of April for us highlights mobile health and,
yes.
and how mobile devices are making life easier and safer. So now you've almost introduced a brand new product to mobile because if you saw your device, which if you went to your website, what is your website? SwipeSense?
SwipeSense.com. Go check it out.
So if you went there, you're going to notice that there aren't, the send button and the end button and the numbers, and I'm not calling anybody on it. So you're bringing something similar to what the Fitbit does in mobile health, where this is a wearable device that is able to track activity.
100%.
So how do you what types of challenges when you go out for investment or when you go and try to sell within the mobile industry do you get, if any?
So first of all, we've had fairly good luck with getting investors on board with SwipeSense. Partially the credit goes to our existing investor base who are very, very supportive and they're working like champs to make sure that new investors come on board and the company is well capitalized during this exciting phase of growth. But ultimately, here's what's compelling about SwipeSense, and this is the part about my company that excites me the most. We are building the foundation of the connected hospital. Now, you brought up some names like Fitbit or any of these other wearables. Let's take the Apple Watch, the biggest gorilla in the
mm-hmm.
market. The challenge is not building this beautiful, shiny piece of technology that that can do all these wonderful things. The challenge that a lot of people don't realize in wearable is to get the damn thing to be worn. You know, you can, Apple and people like Fitbit are going about this by saying, look, we're going to build this beautiful piece of design that people will want to wear because it's a fashion statement. Well, you know what? In a hospital, you're not even supposed to wear rings because, you know, stuff can get in them and they can get infected. So anything from elbow down is actually, there's a lot of recommendations around for you not to wear anything, even a watch. So suddenly what applies in the real world that I personally might want to get an Apple Watch because it's the coolest thing in the market, it straight up does not apply to healthcare. And that kind of adherence is the biggest problem. How to get people to wear your stuff? Because if you can get a critical amount of people to wear your stuff, then you actually have a lot of leverage in terms of the intelligence you can gather from them. And my personal belief is that the entire wearable industry is going about this the wrong way of how to attack healthcare, how to build the connected hospital, how to get a sensor on every healthcare worker, how to get a sensor in every patient room. You need to have a very direct functional benefit that you bring to the table. And unfortunately, that's not counting steps. That's not saying you were, you know, this, you burned through this many calories in a day. That's not the killer app for healthcare. I have a sincere belief that hand hygiene is that killer app because there's a great amount of financial pressure from a reimbursement standpoint for lowering hospital-acquired infections. But more importantly, people want to deliver better care. This is actually something that they care about. If we can say, look, your ability to perform hand hygiene is actually a critical metric that you need to improve upon as a healthcare worker, healthcare workers will improve that. It's just that they have never been able to see that metric up until now. So I like to think of SwipeSense as really the foundation of wearable in healthcare, and there's tons of additional intelligence that we can derive from. But first and foremost, there needs to be a purpose for the end user, for the healthcare worker themselves. And I don't see that with companies like Fitbit or Apple. Obviously, these are much, much bigger companies that we love and respect a lot. But I think they're kind of missing the point in terms of getting people to wear those devices inside the hospital.
So speaking of wearing those devices inside the hospital, what type of feedback are you getting with the whole Big Brother? You're watching everything that I'm doing. What are the nurses? Are they welcoming this? Is it an adoption phase? What type of reaction are you getting?
Well, first of all, my immediate answer is you're already being watched, and not just by your peers for hand hygiene, but by a ton of malpractice lawyers who are watching your every step, expecting you to slip up. And ultimately, this is a tool for you to deliver better care. So initially, of course, everybody brings up and says, well, this is Big Brother. I'm going to be monitored all the time. To which I reply, well, why are you worried? Do you think you're not good at hand hygiene? And if they say, well, I don't really know, I say, look, this is a great way for you to find out. And I'm sure you're doing fantastic because it's very difficult for people to admit that they're not so good at hand hygiene themselves. But more often than not, people will say, just like how if you ask the random person on the road, hey, do you think you're an above average or below average driver? I would say most people will say they're above average. And by definition, 50% of them are wrong. 50% of them are actually below average. That's the very nature of the conversation. So nobody likes to admit that they're bad at hand hygiene. So in a way, they're saying they're signing up voluntarily because most people think they're very, very good at hand hygiene. And our approach from the beginning has never been around creating a system that's based on punishment or creating some sort of a correctionary measure. We would very much like to be the carrot. All we want to do is make a metric that was invisible beforehand visible, and then through there, we can see how we can improve our outcomes. But I very much believe in a positive message around improving a metric rather than penalizing the people who might not be as good at hand hygiene as the others.
So talk to me a little bit about some of the early results. So you're installed, you're starting to gain traction on this. What type of results can you share with our audience about the difference that your product is making in SwipeSense?
At this point, the results are anecdotal. We haven't published anything, but I'll give you a real concrete hospital where we've been live for the past 7 months. This is Salt Lake Regional Medical Center. It's in Salt Lake City. And that hospital has been able to double their hand hygiene rates. And we're still crunching the numbers on the infections, but they're expecting a decrease on the HAI rates as well. Obviously, this isn't a claim that we can make at the moment because we haven't published this. Obviously, we'd like to see it in medical journals in terms of the exact impact that SwipeSense has had. But we're working with folks from the Harvard Medical School with hospital-wide research here in Bourbon, Illinois, with a lovely facility called McNeil Hospital. And we will be able to publish these results within the 12 to 16-month time frame. But I can very confidently say that we know that the system can increase hand hygiene, and a lot of the connections between hand hygiene and HAIs have been made for decades now. We know that better hand hygiene works in terms of reducing HAIs. And ultimately, that's the biggest satisfaction that we can get as a company, is to see that our technology is having real results in hospitals today.
For our audience, real quick, Mert, what is HAI?
A hospital-acquired infection. These are the nosocomial infections, otherwise known as, well, I went to the hospital and I got even sicker. It's the
right.
Bugs that people get inside a facility.
Great. So we're coming to the end of our show, believe it or not, Mert. For our audience, to wrap up, two questions for you. What advice would you give those college students just graduating who have a great idea, but they really just don't know how exactly to take that to market? And then second question is, for mobile health, where do you think mobile health is going to be in, I would even use 3 years, within the healthcare world?
So I'll take the first one. The advice one is easy, and I say this to almost every entrepreneur that I meet who isn't already doing this, because I think this is something that by itself can probably boost your app or company's development probably by about 25 to 30%, just in terms of the sheer time this saves you. And the advice is simple. Don't do free pilots. Do paid pilots. If you're going to do a pilot, do a paid pilot. It drastically reduces your sales cycle because you can get to a no much faster. And let's be honest, you're going to get a lot of no's. That's the name of the game. It's okay. It's a tough industry to penetrate. And if you're in, guess what? You're in. You stay in. But ultimately, weed out the people that are simply not interested in paying you because you're probably not that high on their priority list. Get paid $1,000, whatever that amount is, but get paid something for your effort in terms of your alpha sites and your beta sites. So that's the advice, hands down. If you're not already doing this, you've got to be doing this. And I cannot stress this out in my. These probably would have said this, you know, easy 6 to 8 months for SwipeSense terms.
Sure.
And we're, you know, that's almost one third of the time that we've been alive. So that's the advice part. Now, where mobile health is going in healthcare is ultimately, I think, is two words. It's connected hospital. Ultimately, when you build out the hospital where you don't not just know where the healthcare workers are and when what they're up to, but all the assets inside the facility, where the patients are, what their diagnoses are, sensors in every room that can measure noise, radiation, or exposure to light, you know, stress levels, whatever you want to call it, or the idea that, you know, multiple people in one room and you can sort of see who's collaborating with each other and you can create these all sorts of very interesting social graphs in terms of who's the leader inside the facility, who do people go for advice. There's tons and tons and tons of intelligence we can drive from the interactions that happen inside a facility that we have already been doing in many, many, many other industries that we have seen. We've seen these sort of data booms happen in manufacturing, in large organizational structures, in organizational culture. A lot of that has not happened at healthcare simply because we didn't have the data before. So when you see proliferation of sensors like SwipeSense increase its penetration, what you'll ultimately see is first the data will come. First we'll get this boom of data. And then ultimately the analysis and the intelligence we drive from those will be invaluable in terms of how we deliver healthcare. And in my mind, it is our single biggest hope in terms of defeating the ever-rising cost of healthcare is to figure out how we do what we do a lot more intelligently. It's already 25% of our GDP. It's projected to be 50% by the year 2050. This is a huge number that we have to figure out how to curb. And data and analyzing that data, the insights we gather from that data, will be the key to unlock that ultimate goal.
Very insightful and well said. I think the whole connected hospital, you know, there's a lot of organizations throwing that out there to be part of the conversation, but do they really understand what that means? And how does that create, you know, in my world, in my company, that single patient experience? And being able to provide that ease of access and kind of the theme of our story, of our show today, in a safe and efficient manner. And I think your product has done that. I wish you all the luck in the world, Mert. I think not only do I've enjoyed watching you guys grow. I think it's a great product. And if there's anyone out there that is interested in learning more, again, go to swipesense.com. Contact Mert, contact Yuri, great guys. If anything else, just have a conversation with them, and you'll be energized about the future of healthcare. So kudos to you guys. Congratulations.
Well, thank you for the kind words. It's been an absolute pleasure to reconnect with you today, and I hope to meet you in person soon.
All right. Thanks, everyone. This will conclude our show for today. Those Mobile Health Month at Cingola Consulting, please visit our website, cingolaconsulting.com. For more information on the topic, both through our blog posts, articles, and other industry leaders. As always, tweet us at Cingola Consult if you'd like to continue the conversation, and talk to everyone later. Thanks. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today, and please visit us at cingolaconsulting.com and stericyclecommunications.com to learn more about how we can help your organization realize your investments. Remember to always put the patient at the center of every decision you make.